Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Well, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Jim Kelly. I am the husband of the senior associate pastor here. And I am one blessed guy, let me tell you. She's all right. Now, I got to get a moment here to get my props ready. You know, last week, Pastor Tanya got all of her props and set them right here and had them so that she could draw on them and show and share them with you. These are my props. These are it here. And we'll get to that in a second here. But I want to begin by reading, if we have that first scripture. I've got three that I want to share with you today that kind of breaks down my life and my journey and my story with God. And so the first one is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. Though God wrote this about the creation of the world, it also resonates with me because God created me and there was emptiness and no form and darkness. But I praise God that His Spirit hovered over my life. Tanya is the middle daughter of three, and I am the middle son of three boys. Our homes were nothing alike. She was all girls, we was all boys. They didn't use cats as weapons. It's like, what? She goes, what are you talking about? So me and my older brother, we got into it one day because brothers get into it on days, right? I mean, I don't know what it was, but it was knocked down. It was drag out. It was, I'm getting you and you're getting me. And till mom finally got us to separate and leave each other alone. I wasn't done, though. And so my older brother, he's laying there on the couch watching TV or doing something, and I'm over in the corner seething, and he doesn't have his shirt on. He's laying there at summer. It's hot. And so all of a sudden, I see my cat. That poor thing. I reached over and grabbed that cat, shook him up, and threw him on my brother's back. Man, I mean, there was claws. There was ripping of flesh. There was yelling and screaming. Me and the cat got out of the house, man, you know. Don said they didn't do stuff like that. We did. We did. We talk about my props that I have here, and the reason the other significant difference in our house, in our homes, in our lives, was she come from a Christian-based home and I didn't. I talked about there being no form and there being a darkness that hovered over the world or over my life. It was because I didn't have that heritage of faithfulness, of church life, of prayer and hope. I come from a situation, and she looks back and she reflects on those memories, and I look back on different memories. I look back when I began, and some of the earliest memories that I had was my dad busting into the room with a gun held to his head saying, I'm going to blow my brains out. Yeah, not such a good day at kindergarten the next day. I'm 53 years old, and my dad passed away in 2010. I'm not real good at math, but I was approximately 40 years old. And in those 40 years of life, I don't remember my dad ever being sober. I don't mean that he was drunk every day, but I mean the entirety of my life before he passed, he was always suffering from alcoholism. It had a profound and lasting impact on my life as a child. It had a profound and lasting impact in the dynamics in our home that we grew up in. We never apologized. We went to bed and got up the next morning and lived like nothing happened, if we were lucky. Sometimes it wasn't over the next day. But the Spirit of God hovered over my life. As I look back and I have another memory of the dynamic in the family and the concept of love, right? Christian love and all of that sort of deal. I have the memory of my dad in his drunken stupor making me sit on his lap, making me put my arm around him, and making me tell him that I loved him as he slurs the words, "Son, I love you." Hard, unfortunate, but part of my story. So, you know, you get to thinking things when you're raised in a situation like such. You get to wondering some things. You get to believing some things. And so somehow, somewhere, some way, in the midst of all this chaos and disharmony and dysfunction, Dad and Mom thought it'd be a good thing if I caught the church bus that drove by the house to go to Prairie Chapel Church, where some guy that I didn't know and some lady was on the bus and wanted me to come to their church. That'd be Bob and Terry. So I went for a while until Dad and Mom didn't make me go anymore. I mean, it was good enough that I went, but they didn't have to go. That wasn't for them. It was all right. Life went on. Life went on. You know, and Pastor Tanya shared a little bit as in last week, you know, that there come a time as I got older and we got into high school, and she happened to look over in Algebra 2 and see me and set up this big scheme in order for me to take her to the homecoming dance. I mean, she was begging for me to take her to the dance. I said, "Oh, I guess." And she came into my life. Now, I knew who she was, but she didn't know about me. She talked about football and hair, and she didn't know the home life. She didn't know the pain. But the Spirit of God hovered over my life, and He brought her into it. And so we began to see each other and to date and developed a relationship and broke up and got back together. So she invited me to sing. She was all nervous and worried about it. But see, when I looked at her, I saw amazing beauty. I saw smarts and intelligence, and I saw athleticism. And those were, I like to play sports. I wouldn't say it was smarter or had amazing beauty. That's not what I was going for. That was what I saw in her. I have no idea what she saw in me. But I saw peace and stability and genuineness and sincerity in her life. And I didn't have that. And I really was attracted to that. Instead of the chaos and dysfunction and disharmony and abuse of my life. So she invited me to go sing one day, or not to sing. Oh, no, she didn't invite me to sing. She thought when we got married she could teach me to sing, that I just hadn't been trained right. That was quickly squelched, and the neighbors have called the Humane Society 4 different times when I've been singing, all right? So it isn't there. But she said something like, well, my family sings, gospel singers, and maybe you'd like to go. And so we went to I believe it was the Paulding County Fair. It might have been one of the fairs. I forget which one it was. The first time she invited me to go. And so I guess I survived it. And she asked me to go again. And I think it was the second time. And we had to drive all the way to Toledo to this place called North Cove Boulevard Church of God to hear the Singing Fry family minister. And I don't know how many here today was there on that night, but when the invitation was given, I went down and gave my heart to the Lord under Pastor Robert Lee Fry, whose bus I rode to a little church. And the Spirit of God hovered over my life. And so I didn't know anything about this church gig, really. I mean, when I was a little kid, you know, I was just trying to keep me from hurting myself or somebody else when I was in children's church. They had sword drills, and I thought we got a fight. I didn't know that it was trying to look up a Bible verse. I had no idea what that was. I was a little disappointed. But anyhow, I regress. So I go down, practically ran down to the altar and knelt there, and I just said what they told me to say because I didn't know what to say on my own, right? But in that moment of innocence and sincere faith, I knelt down and bawled like a baby, and the power of the Lord fell upon me. And what I mean by that is, literally, and I mean physically, I had a sensation go through me from the very top of my head to the very bottom of my feet of something. And I now know it was the Spirit of God that came upon me. Well, we went home, went to bed, got up the next day, went to school. And I'm sitting in the study hall, second hour, and this guy that sat in front of me, we talk all the time, leans over to me and says, "So, heard you got saved last night." And I'm thinking, "Oh." So I looked at Big John and said, Yeah, I did. And that was really the beginning of where my life took off. Because I guess God wanted me to talk about me knowing Him. And so I began to read the Bible because I didn't know what it was other than a coffee table decoration or something that kept pictures and things in it. And so I began to read the Word and read the Word and read the Word and read the Word. And I come across this verse in 2 Peter 3:18. I think they've got that one as well. And it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." So I was smart enough to figure out how to grow in the knowledge. I had the Bible. I could start reading the Bible. I could start in putting that into my life and into my mind and into me. I watched people and learned how to pray and listened to them to pray and thought I could probably do that too. And so I began to grow in the knowledge of prayer. You see, when I first got saved,
I didn't know how church worked. I thought because Tanya and her family read the Bible, prayed, and gave money, that everybody that went to church read the Bible, prayed, and gave money. I didn't know. Not everybody does that. So I got growing in the Lord and doing different things and coming to know Him, and I was growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And we progressed along, and we got married, and progressed along, and I was growing in the Lord. And then I decided that my dad needed the Lord, because he was hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost. And I had a way for him to be sober. God. God could do that. And so I prayed, and I believed, and I wanted, and I cried out, and I prayed, and I wanted, and I cried out that God, my God, who saved me, would not only save my dad, but make him sober. And I mean, I got called to preach, and I gave up college to be an engineer, to go to Anderson, to be a preacher, and surely God would hear my prayer, and surely God would move Michael, because I prayed like they told me to. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And now that I'm saved and I got this power of this God who can do anything, am I drunk dad still drunk? Am I mean mouth, mean spirited dad still berated my handicapped mom that couldn't make it on her own, that was disabled? And it went on and it grew and it went on and it continued. And this God wasn't doing anything about it. My heritage in the faith wasn't there. I didn't have it. So I struggled with how I grow in grace. God, do something. God, you did it in their life. Why not me? Why not mom's life? Why not do something? And so the lack of heritage and immaturity and faith in my part got to the point where I said, enough of this. And so I got into sin and rebellion. Tanya was nice and said, I walked, turned my back on him. Is that how you said it? I'll tell you what it was. It was sin and rebellion. He didn't answer my prayer. So I had a problem because she was all in. Unfazed by unanswered prayer. Unfazed by things not changing. I praise God that His Spirit hovered over me and around me and kept me from things that would have been devastating to my marriage. He preserved it and protected it. But it was sin and rebellion. And then this little bundle of joy and hair. I should have showed him a picture of Ashley today, because I never seen a baby have that much hair in my life. Now, I didn't see many babies, but she had a bunch of it come into my life. And all of a sudden, I'm a dad. I was used to being an athlete. I was used to working. I was used to being a husband. But I wasn't used to being a dad. And so then I began to grow in grace. I began to figure out how you grow in grace. This is how I learned. Some of you have got a different heritage than mine. We'll maybe find a different way. But in my story, I figured out I learned to grow in grace by failure. And I was pretty good at that. But the lack of my heritage and my maturity brought me to a point of seeking God at a deeper depth than I ever did, because I wasn't going to make it as a dad. And she was a girl. I had no idea. I didn't have any sisters. I didn't know how these things operated. I had a wife, and but not no little kid. What was I going to do? And so I began to approach God out of great desperation. Because no matter what, I wasn't going to put my child through what I went through. It may not have been perfect, but there was going to be peace and love. And I had to figure out how to do that very thing. How could this messed up guy have peace in his life that wasn't based upon what I seen? And I had to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. And I did. And I did. And I did. And he began to give a compassion to me from himself. He began to impart things and implant things within my spirit. And I began to grow in that grace. And I still had struggles, and I still had questions and what have you about this faith, because I didn't have any heritage. And I come across this verse. Because when I was running, let me back up just a moment. Because when I was in sin and rebellion, God wouldn't leave me alone. Wherever I ran from Him, I'd find Him. Whenever I would quit talking to Him, I'd hear Him. Whenever I said I wasn't gonna, somehow or another, He got me to gonna. And I did. Yeah. And the crust began to break in my heart. And this verse materialized one day by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10a. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. It did something. And I couldn't deny that fact. And when I tried to, God would say, remember that night at North Cove Boulevard when you knelt at the altar and you had that physical reaction to me? Or you felt me, well, yeah, but that was just emotionalism brought up in the moment, God. And I couldn't deny it. I felt it. I experienced it. I could lie about it. I could say it wasn't true, but I couldn't deny it. Remember that night when I called you to preach and the stars lit up and the heaven blinked and said, "This way, dummy"? I couldn't deny it. I could lie about it. I could tell her it wasn't true, that it was just an emotionalism from the moment, or in the moment, because I was away at college and I missed her and I didn't know how to go forward, and I made all kinds of stuff up. But I couldn't deny it, because His grace that I grew in was not without effect. It touched me. I've lost track of the time. Where are we at, Tom? Well, I was looking for it up there. It's 11 o'clock? All right. So, beloved, I'd want to read with this again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect.
And when that took root in my spirit,
I began to move and operate and function in a different capacity with God. And if you see anything here today, and if you remember anything here today, it would be my prayer that it would be the grace of God at work in my life. I can make you one promise. I'll fail you. I'll let you down. I won't mean to, but I will. But I'm going to continue to grow in that grace. And I'm going to close with this. Michael, as you can get ready here. My parents are both passed on by now. On November 23rd, 2006, Thanksgiving Day, my mom had a cardiac arrest in the Paulding County Hospital and died after what the doc from a bout of pneumonia. Thanksgiving Day. On December 25th, 2010, my dad died at ProMedica Hospital here in Toledo with 18 different tubes or things hooked up to him. He had no functioning vascular system due to his smoking and drinking and life, hard living life. And we knew before Dad died that it was going to be any day. We was probably going to have to make a decision if we didn't. It was going to happen, but we got up on Christmas Day and we celebrated Christmas with the kids as best we could. And we got the call. We need to get there. And we came up and we went here. And later on, after we got back to the house, got back, I think it was Jared. And Jared's our youngest. And I don't know, he might have been, what, 8 or 9? 6? He was young. And we were talking, it's like, Dad. He said, man, Grandma died on Thanksgiving. And Dad died on Christmas Day. You know, what's the next the holiday? Who's going to die? Well, the next holiday was Easter. And beloved, Easter's not about dying. Easter's about living. It is a holiday where a holy God is united and brings forth from an unholy person. It's when a holy God is culminating in His culmination and being restored with a sinner. It is the relentless pursuit of God being fulfilled, that God loves you, that you cannot change that, that He accepts us just as we are, and that the desire of His heart is to forgive us and to live in relationship with us. Easter, if it's about anything, it's about living. And we look forward to that day when we will be reunited with Him face to face. And it's my great prayer. It's my great hope because of God, because of who He is and what He's done, that old drunk father of mine, I might get to see Him. That's my great hope. I don't know, but I know God's grace is greater than our sin, and I know that God's grace is greater than mine. And I'm going to trust Him. And beloved, I came along with her. And so I'm going to spend the time that we have here helping you, helping me grow in that grace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30. At 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us and have a blessed day.